Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever. Over the last few weeks, we've been reflecting on the different marks of charity as St. Paul describes them in 1 Corinthians 13. It's actually going to be the reading tomorrow for Sunday's Mass. The second reading is going to be from that famous chapter on love. And we're going to talk about today the eighth mark of charity, which is love is not irritable. That's 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. For those of us who maybe aren't melancholic or who aren't mourning persons, or maybe a combination of the two, this might not be so pleasant a reflection, but we'll try to do it anyway. Other translations of the Greek word that's used there, the Greek word is paroxuso. Other translations say that love is not easily angered or provoked. It doesn't take offense, or it's not quick-tempered. The statement itself is really an absolute. It's saying that love is not provoked, it's not exacerbated. Not that it's just not easily provoked, but that it's not provoked, that it's not irritable, that it's not quick-tempered. So God is love, love is not provoked or irritable, and yet if you read the scriptures, actually it seems like God's provoked a lot, especially if you read the Old Testament. Revelation 6:16 speaks of the wrath of the Lamb as at the opening of the seven seals of judgment. The Old Testament book of Deuteronomy talks a number of times about how the Israelites provoked God's anger. For example, Moses said to them, he said, even at Horeb you provoked the Lord to wrath, and the Lord was so angry with you that he was ready to destroy you. Deuteronomy 9, verse 8. The Lord was very angry with your fathers. That was the first thing that God spoke to the prophet Zechariah in Zechariah 1, verse 2. So how do you reconcile the fact that God is love and love is not provoked, and yet God is provoked and is angered in the scriptures? Well, the Norbertine father Hugh Barber explained this pretty well in an article I read. First of all, you have to keep in mind that anger and irritability are human emotions. And emotions are basically impulses that flow from knowledge in a bodily creature. So emotions are bodily reactions towards things that we sense are good or away from things that we sense are bad. So emotions belong to creatures with a body. God is pure spirit, meaning that by nature, doesn't have a body. The angels are pure spirits as well. They don't have bodies either, so neither of them have emotions. Even the human soul, when it's separated from the body after death, doesn't experience emotions. What God and the angels and the souls in heaven have is an appetite for what is good and an aversion for what is evil. God's love of the good and his hatred for evil are more intense than we can imagine, far more intense than our emotions are. So when we say that God and the angels don't have feelings or emotions, what we really mean is that their nature gives them an even more intense experience of good and evil than the experience we have in our bodies. So God isn't unfeeling or caring because he doesn't have emotions, no. Rather, he loves the good and he hates the evil with an infinitely greater intensity than we do. His anger is his total opposition to evil and his total support, his total orientation towards the good. When the scriptures attribute emotions to God, it's a way of helping us understand our relationship with him. Because we do understand emotions. As Trent Horn, the Catholic apologist, said, he said that saying God is provoked or angry with sin or pleased with our obedience doesn't mean that he's reacting to something that we did. It means that we did something to alienate ourselves from God if we sinned, or we did something to draw closer to him if we obeyed him or practiced virtue. The then Cardinal Ratzinger, Joseph Ratzinger, put it this way. He said this, the wrath of God is a way of saying that I've been living in a way that's contrary to the love that God is. The punishment of God is in fact, an expression for having missed the right road and then experiencing the consequences that follow from taking the wrong track and wandering away from the right way of living, said Cardinal Ratzinger before he became Pope. So when Scripture says that God is provoked or that he's wrathful or angry, it's metaphorical, it's anthropomorphic language that's being used. God's speaking to us in a way that makes sense to us. It makes us understand that we're not living how we're called to live, how we're created to live, if it says that God is angry with us. And he's also using analogy too. He's telling us that we need to understand our relationship to him really as a covenant committed relationship. For example, if we are married and we were unfaithful to our human spouse, we should expect that spouse to not be so pleased with us if that happens, right? The same thing with God, too. God's anger, therefore, becomes an expression of his divine perfection, of his justice. It's actually an expression of his justice. It's a cause and effect relationship. The cause of God's retribution or his punitive justice is our sin. The effect is punishment. In other words, God's righteous anger, it's always motivated by love and by our response or our lack of a response to his love. I hope all that kind of makes sense, at least some of it. Just to complicate things a little bit more, we know Jesus Christ, who's God in human flesh, Jesus does have human emotions. So that actually complicates it a little more. He's a divine person, but he does experience human emotions in his human nature. Even in the Gospels, we see him getting angry at times. So does God get provoked or angry? Well, yes and no, depending on how you understand the question. Not really depending on God's mood. God's mood doesn't change. Of course, St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, when he tells us that love is not provoked or irritable, he's speaking more about the effects of love in us, not so much in God. So his discourse is a bit different from the explanation that we just gave. The more we learn to interiorize the love of God and take to heart the spousal dimension of our faith, that we are beloved children of God, and that even that God is our beloved spouse too, the more that becomes our spiritual foundation, the less provoked we will be, the less quick-tempered we will be, the less irritable and angry we will be. Love has a way of softening the rough edges of the one it loves. And that's what God wants to do with all of us. Last thing, is there such a thing as righteous anger? Of course there is, right? Just as there are just wars, so too there's righteous anger as well. The apostle says in Ephesians 4:26, he says, be angry, but do not sin. He doesn't say never be angry. He says, be angry, but do not sin. Being angry about the right things and in the right way is actually a virtuous thing. When the emotion of anger that we have, when it's guided by right reason and virtue and faith, it can be a powerful force really for positive change in the world. The idea that anger is always a sin, that's nonsense. It's not true. If you believe that, then that means you're going to accuse Jesus of having sinned. Because as we said in the Gospels, we see him getting angry at times. As we said in the past, never getting angry, never doing that is more of a stoical or a Buddhist goal, more so than a Christian goal. It's not really the goal, the Christian life. And Thomas Aquinas, whose feast we celebrated yesterday, said that there is such a thing as unreasonable patience, meaning failing to get angry over things that should make us angry. So anger can be a force for good, and it can be appropriate at times as well. That being said, anger is a bit somewhat like the sexual drive in that there are more ways to misuse it than there are ways to use it rightly. So we need to be extra careful when the emotion of anger or the passion of anger wants to take control of us. And we need to remember the warning of St. James when he says that the anger of man does not achieve God's righteousness. Right? James 1 verse 20. Proverbs 29 verse 11 puts it this way. It says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man quietly holds it back. In truth, some of us by temperament or personality can be hotheads. Some of us, we have that problem, but we need to be honest about that and learn to be in control of our anger so that God can be in control of us. Love is not irritable or provoked, means that love has the strength to restrain itself and not let loose every angry feeling. Love guides anger to right the wrongs that we can right, to fight the battles that are worth fighting, but also love teaches us to let go of what's out of our control and simply bring the issue to prayer. More often than not, that's the best response. Let's ask Our Lady, whose emotions were always guided by love and by virtue and reason and faith, let's ask her for help in softening the irritability and anger that we sometimes experience so that God's love can reign more in our hearts and in our minds, and consequently can reign in the world more as well. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.